I think I'm at about part 8. It could be part 7, it could be part 9. I'll know when I get home to the laptop and organise it all of my critique of John Flint's article in the January 8th edition of the Sunday Times here in Perth, Western Australia. And I'll have links to the other earlier parts. I do hope you can get to see them because my critique will make a lot more sense. But if you do, you're stalwart and real stayers, because there's been a fair bit of ground to cover. E.K. Lippmeyer, and it's just after 7 in the evening, and it is the 24th of January 2023. This should be the last, almost certainly be my last part. So on with my glasses, and I might be doubling up a little bit here, and it would only be a paragraph or two, I think. And lest you haven't seen any of the other parts, Sunday Times, January the 8th, and John Flint, the Walkley Award-winning journalist, and I'm of the opinion he's a journalist par non excellence, and he's been given 3 pages in the centre, as well as 2 other segments in this newspaper to whip up fear in general and anxiety about the COVID-19 pandemic. But in this particular 3-page spread, he's being different. He's actually presented some facts, but he doesn't realise that he's highlighting his own hypocrisy. So I'll have a little bit more to say about that in a moment, talking about the banning, stifling, sanctioning, and etc., deregistering of doctors who speak against the official government narrative. And so, we had just got to, I think, the Sunday Times, and some other practitioners, a psychiatrist in this example. The Sunday Times, I probably am doubling up here, the Sunday Times interviewed 2 other practitioners who didn't want to be named for fear of losing their registration. One of them, a psychiatrist, feels silenced even though no action has been taken against her. She chose to close her private practice rather than comply with the vaccine mandate last year. Well, I'm glad she didn't comply with the vaccine mandate. What a shame she had to close her private practice. But I could see she was between a rock and a hard place. She said she wasn't anti-vax per se, but adopted the precautionary principle. Yes, I think I did cover this, yes, in my part, the previous part. And that's the principle that saturates the Hippocratic Oath. And I don't think doctors have to be signatories to that or swear that oath, but I can't see much harm if they do. First, do no harm is the beginning of that oath. And to do no harm, you do have to be precautionary. Take as much caution as you can to make sure that whatever you are advising and administering to your patient does not, in fact, harm them. I think it's important that as medical professionals, I'm quoting this anonymous psychiatrist here, we go through such rigorous training that we should be allowed to speak independently and have a debate. But all unvaccinated doctors have been banned from practice around Australia. So the unvaccinated voice, we've just been completely ostracised, she said. And what a shame that is. And it's true, it's correct. Our Australian government and its official organs and so on, and quangos and quasi-government organs, etc., of control in the medical arena, have done so many wrong things. But worst of all, they're in the camp of tyrannical regimes, present and past, where no dissent against government policy, government opinion, etc., official lines, is tolerated. And if that's not a flashing red light to anyone with any ability to think rigorously, with any ability to be connected to reality, then what is? Any government worth their salt should in fact encourage their population to examine rigorously everything they do and say, and criticise where it's constructive, everything they do and say, and all with a view to improving things for all. Governments should as I say, and what no Australian government, state or federal, is remotely in this arena, should be inviting and encouraging a forensic examination of their policies, their practices and so on, with a view to improving, so that we make the world a better place for, and the country a better place for our citizens. But it is not the case. She won't be reopening her practice. Quoting her, "With the emergency powers now with the police commissioner, he can bring mandates back in at the drop of a hat. So there's no way I can restart a business that I might have to close down again," she said. Well, my word, I can empathise with her there. Yes, the current police commissioner, Cole Blanch, who replaced the previous one middle of last year, Chris Dawson, who was elevated to the position of governor of Western Australia, who that governor replaced former politician, opposition leader, etc., Kim Beazley. Cole Blanch, he has an unbelievable amount of power that the Communist Party, the North Koreans, whatever other just blatant tyrannical regimes in Australia today and tyrannical regimes of the past would drool over and are drooling over the thought of, could we adopt this and adapt it to our populations? The Western Australian, it's something like the amendment to the Emergency Powers Act or something. It was passed through our Western Australian Parliament to every parliamentarian who voted for it, to their dishonour, their everlasting dishonour, about last September-ish, October at the latest, probably September. It is the most draconian legislation, worded in the most vague manner, so that the police commissioner, Cole Blanch, can do whatever he likes on to people on suspicion of being exposed to COVID-19, break into your house, take you somewhere, or on the spot, who knows, inject you with a so-called vaccine against COVID-19, seize your property, seize your car, do anything they like anywhere in the state of Western Australia, not even in just a lockdown area or an area declared a pandemic hotspot or something. Do it anywhere. It is, you've got to read the legislation to believe it. And I think that's enacted for the next couple of years. A medical practitioner who was at Joondalup Hospital lost her job for declining vaccination. Quoting this one, "I don't put stuff on social media," she said. "That's probably why APRA haven't caught up with me." It's a strategic move and a sensible move. She no longer trusted all that she had before. I've just lost faith, really, she said. "I am struggling with that. I'm in limbo. I don't know what I'm going to do." And that's the end of the article. I don't think I showed a picture of Dr. David Berger. And that's about it. I've seen that very poster at the protest rallies I attended. That's the anti-vaxxers. One of the favourite derogatory terms that John Flint, the illustrious John Flint, has labelled me and my fellow West Australians who attended the protest rallies with many times. And the facts are, most of us are just vaccine hesitant, vaccine curious, vaccine researchers, vaccine aware, vaccine wise. And most of us, well, look, I can't say that. Many of us are not against every vaccine. There's some that there might be far more benefit from than detriment in them. I don't really know for sure, but perhaps along the lines of the rubella and things like that, but I'm not cluey enough, but I think there are some that anyway are far, far less dangerous than these COVID-19 experimental emergency use authorized injections. And so we are at least waiting to see far more safety data that is not biased and corrupted, etc., coming out to show really, and look, the evidence is overwhelming, really, that with all the people, athletes, celebrities dropping dead and maimed and injured, there's not really any doubt that the COVID-19 injections do far more harm than good. But for some reason here in Western Australia, we keep being encouraged by our health authorities to be vaccinated, get your booster, get your fourth, and all this kind of nonsense. Now, a few words, look, I'll just pause. Back again, I'm just outside where the light is a little better. The light was getting dark, the sun was sort of essentially setting or set. Here in Success Hill Reserve, actually, northeastern suburbs of Perth. Beautiful, comfortable evening, actually, after the heat wave we've been having. I'll just say a few words about, and I'll be merging this with the previous video, about the illustrious Walkley Award winning John Flint, senior journalist. He has in his title, every now and then sometimes in the articles I see he's writing. What John Flint has done is he's moved in this article from his previous almost 100% negative characterisation of anyone who in the COVID-19 pandemic management, mismanagement situation in Australia, anyone who has dissented in any way or had a varying opinion or been unvaccinated by choice, vaccine hesitant, etc. Sorry if there's wind blowing across the microphone. He's come down on them like a ton, and me, you know, not personally, but because I'm part of that movement, like a ton of bricks, and ridiculed us and been happy to lay the boots in any way he can. But in this article that I've just critiqued, part 8 or part 9, whatever, 7 or 8 parts, whatever it is, he's done something quite unusual. Where he usually is putting down information when he's not going ad hominem and attacking people personally, he will put a lot of information down. Where's he got that from? Well, it's as if he's got it from Big Pharma press releases, from official government sources, and that's why I won't call them facts. Facts, as you've heard me say many times, have to have a strong objectivity quotient, a strong connection to reality, so that they have predictive value, high predictive value, well above 95%. A good fact has above 99% prediction. So you run 100. You look at your fact, which is a description. You then design a predictive experiment, and if it's coming accurate 99 times out of 100, you've got a pretty good, well-polished fact there. Well, all John Flint has been doing in the articles I've been reading in the West Australian here in Perth, Western Australia, and the Sunday Times, is information with a very loose connection to reality, or you can hardly call them facts, because he's just parroting, repeating government official lines. The vaccines are safe. Masks are the way to go. Lockdowns generate more good than harm, and so on. And these things are just not the case. Not the case at all. When you look at the mountain of evidence to show that, and you know, mask up young children, vaccinate children, inject for COVID-19 children from six up. Very harmful thing to do. Very harmful thing to do. And so he normally just presents information or uses ad hominem attacks, personal attacks. But in this article, he's presented the complaints of a number of medical professionals who have been unfairly treated, unreasonably treated, in my opinion, I'd call it illegally. In a non-corrupt judicial system, the authorities would be charged for abrogating these medical professionals' human rights. Any medical professional should be able to express an opinion, even if it differs from official government policy, and even if it discouraged people to take up the injections were being exhorted to take and so on, that's not a problem. It just means people then can look, everyone can then restate their arguments, restate their cases, show their evidence, and we can look at these things more rigorously. But John Flint doesn't realise, or does he? I don't think he does. He has just exposed his hypocrisy enormously by presenting the complaints of these several medical professionals in this article about their the stifling of their free speech by APRA, mainly AHPRA, the Australian Health Practitioners Registration Authority. He's exposed the fact by those who have any degree of memory and recall, as I have, because I've been critiquing his articles for the last, reading them and critiquing for the last couple of years almost. He's a hypocrite. The complaints that the medical professionals in that three-page spread are making are against APRA, they may as well be making them also against John Flint, because John Flint's been a parrot, has been a puppet, presenting these, being critical and derogatory to anyone who's had a dissenting view, who has an opinion that might discourage people following the official government line. So I think I've said enough. He's mellowing in some ways because of the fact that he, or is he? I'm not sure, because there's more in this latest paper that I haven't got to yet, the latest edition. However, he, I'm saying he's mellowing. That I don't know, but he's presenting information which he would not have presented once, I'm quite sure, because it's working against the very argument he has been, the very situation, the very stance the government has had until now. He's presenting material that is bringing it all into question. And so what a sad and sorry case he is. What an excuse for a journalist, actually, because journalists should be seeking the most objective, impartial examination of all plausible, credible evidence, which he has not. And now in this three-page spread, he's done a little bit of that, and by airing the complaints of these professionals. So he's now all over the shop, and he's not been great enough to put at least one paragraph in this three-page spread to say, hey, and I'm sorry that my information in so many of my previous articles is contrary to what I'm presenting to you now. I'm sorry if I've misled you, if I've encouraged anyone to get an injection through what I write and have written, which could well indeed have been the wrong thing to do, caused maiming or death of a loved one or whatever, or injury in some way, I'm sorry. Well, he's not great enough to do it. The small won't, the great will, but there's no mention. So thank you for getting this far. If you have, you've been a marathon runner to get this far. E.K. Littmeyer, I look forward to speaking to you again soon.